Today on DC Movie News, we are just sending all of our love to Adam West. We love him, we love him. And we'll be talking about a lot more, so stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
Not trying to start this on a sad note because of everything amazing that he has done for us, but I had to just shout him out at the top of the show. Oh my gosh, it was heartbreaking to all of us. But we'll get right to that. First, introducing our amazing panel. He actually found our show, but you guys know him from Gotham, from 12 Monkeys. He's all over the place. I know him from the originals. It's Todd Stashwick!
Hello, everyone.
You found our show.
I did.
Where'd you find us?
I'm a podcast addict, and I'm a card-carrying nerd, and so I burn through a lot of podcasts when I'm working out. I'm up in Toronto, so I have a lot of time to listen to podcasts for. I am not with my family up there, so I have a lot of time on my hands, and so when I get tired of listening to my Star Wars podcasts, I'm looking for...
I'm looking for my...
My Batman podcasts, and there's only so much Kevin Smith one can listen to.
You're a massive DC fan, though.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Ridiculous DC fan.
Before the show, he's like, yeah, you know, Patty Jenkins and I go way back.
I've known her for a long time.
She's like, I'm at this premiere, I'm doing this.
I almost went.
Okay, you didn't say it like that, but I'm just very impressed with all of your DC knowledge and friends.
I'm a fan, and I have way too much space taken up with comic books in my house. So I stumbled across your podcast, and I always give credit where credit is due, and you guys really put together a great show, and so
awesome.
I had to shout out about it, and then Johnny, who...
we miss you, Jay Quasto.
Yeah, I used to teach at a place called Leslie Kahn, and he was a student there.
Oh, yeah.
And I know Johnny from there, and he found me and said, hey, you want to come with me? I'm like, absolutely. So, and I happen to have a little hiatus from 12 Monkeys.
Cool.
So here I sit.
Look at that.
That's awesome.
Here I sit.
Cool.
Yeah.
Also sitting here, you guys know him, you love him. Some know him as the killer, others know him as Mikey Christmas. It's Mike Kalinowski.
I'm back. You guys let me come back. I talked to Adam. Okay. You guys said
That's
I was kicked off
forgot.
The show. So.
Well, this is 1 week only, Mike. Did anybody explain that to you?
No.
That Koi is actually coming back to take your place next week?
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Actually, next week is a battle where...
I think I beat him in points-wise, so we're just going to go off of that anyway.
Yes,
so.
But is that who gets the win?
Well, you know.
I'm not trying to hate on you because I'm on your team.
I know.
But
I think you are hating on me, though.
You're still
no,
on
I'm
point.
Not.
I was awarded MVP. We'll just say that.
Were you really upset when you were listening to the episode and you were like, is Koi... What's happening here? What's happening here?
No. I was upset. I'm going to go on
Marvel.
Glad
you missed us so much. Guys.
I did. No, I was busy. bigger and better things now. But I'm back slumming it now, I feel like. No.
Okay. The girl I like so much better than you right now. Elena, bring the pain to Jordan.
Ta-da.
What's going on, girl?
Hey, everybody. It's good to be back.
Hell yeah. All right, guys. So, like we talked about, we did lose somebody incredible this past week. Adam West. I was just shocked to hear about this, and I don't know why I was so surprised, because he is older.
I think because there was no talk of his illness. It was leukemia, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so but it was never in the... Not that someone would make that public, but you just didn't know. You know, it's
I met him a few months ago.
Look fine?
It was the first and only time I met him, and he was doing a signing, and we actually talked for a little bit because I was there getting B-roll for something, and he was just having a conversation with me, and he was, like, such a nice, just... interesting, he was there fully present. I was so surprised. This startled me a lot. I know that I think you've met him once before.
Yeah, I had a number of years ago. It's one of those things where you go into the waiting room for an audition and you're looking around, and I don't think we were up for the same role, but you just suddenly turn and there is a television icon sitting there, and you're like, why does he have to read?
Yeah.
Like, you know what he's bringing.
Prove
to the
himself,
party.
Yeah.
And then, but B, just as excited to be there as everyone.
That's
know?
Great.
He was fantastic. And then, so you just, like, here's my window. So I have to just jump in and just start engaging him in conversation.
And you did?
Oh my God, of course I did. Because I'm as big of a fanboy.
You were probably the only one that did that too, right? Everyone else was in the
room. Yeah, I think everything.
Yeah, you see that a lot. Everyone's kind of like, some people get.
I get it though. Everybody has their own
process.
Yeah,
they all have their own process.
But
But I'm like, I think it's this job is not as worth as much as this experience I'm going to have.
Right, yeah. And so many people, I feel like actors are like, well, you know, I'm an actor, but it's the same thing. Which actor is like, that's an icon.
No, yeah.
You got to like go up and say something.
Like
you
those are the moments. I got to work with Christopher Lloyd last week.
Wow.
And so it's just one of those moments where you're like, he's 78. So you go, this is my time with an icon. So I'm going to... I'm not. There's no shame. There's no nothing. And these people who've been at it for so long appreciate feeling their relevancy. Because like I hope to God I'm as relevant as Adam West is when I'm 84.
It was interesting. A few months ago, we actually were talking about a project that him and Burt Ward were working on. We were talking about it on the show. Remember, I had just interviewed Burt Ward on my other show, The Tomorrow Show, and I wonder what happens with that and how far along they were. And
is it the second?
Was it the animated?
Yeah.
Animated one? Because they completed the second one that he's doing with Two-Face.
But there was supposed to be another one coming out after, I think?
No, that might have been the first one because that was a while ago with Burt Ward. Remember that?
Yeah, I guess
I think this is the second one, maybe.
I just know they had been working on a couple new things going on. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there is more to see. But I know, Elena, you said that there's a memorial for him.
There is. Tonight, L.A., this is actually really cool. The mayor is also a big fan of Batman and is going to put out the bat signal at 9 p.m. at L.A. City Hall this evening. So
he's...
That's awesome.
Garcetti, Eric Garcetti, the mayor. He's a big DC guy, isn't he? Because he started some stuff with Marvel for a while.
Well, he also referenced Adam West because he was, you know, very self-aware and very funny, and he played himself as Mayor Adam West on Family Guy, and they're also doing a tribute, too, on Sunday to him and then re-airing one of his episodes. But so he was saying from one mayor to another, and as Batman, you know, got a call out to Bat. So I just love
that. That's pretty cool.
Gotcha.
I feel like I want to go see that.
I think that's amazing.
Are you going
to
go?
I'm going to go. I have the face-off after show here tonight, but I'm going to try to go straight from here to there after and hopefully make it.
If anybody is LA-based, take pictures, send them to us, tweet them at us. Yeah. We definitely want to see that. Yeah. Let's move on a little bit to talk about Danny Elfman. This was an interesting announcement that had people really freaking out on Twitter. It was bizarre, and Junkie XL responded to it on Twitter too, and he didn't seem so thrilled. What was your initial reaction, Mike, to this when this came out?
I don't know what to think because it seems like Junkie XL has been working on this for a very long time.
Yeah,
because this movie's been filming for a while, and I thought he's been working on it. So it's like,
well, often they won't score until pictures close if they're scoring two pictures.
But remember, because there's so much talk with. It was going to be two movies, and they were shooting them both back-to-back, but then they said, no, we're doing one. Like, I feel Justice League has been shooting. Did they start a couple weeks after? They started a couple weeks after BBS Wrap.
Principal photography?
Yeah.
Or?
Principal.
Okay.
So I think they started, like, April of 2016, wasn't it?
Wow. Yeah, that sounds
it's been a while.
Like this is basically going to be an entirely new movie. Like, even a new composer.
I don't know if maybe because it kept getting pushed back. And then the whole Zack Snyder thing, and moved on to another project.
3 months of reshoots, too, and then now bringing in Danny Elfman, it just seems like this is going to be
reading everything, it seems like Joss Whedon said, Danny Elfman's my guy, I'm bringing him in. Because Junkie XL said he was replaced.
Yeah, so this is his exact tweet that he posted. It said, hashtag Justice League, and then it was like one of those additional things you can do, so it's more than 140 characters. As my mentor Hans Zimmer told me, you haven't made it in Hollywood as a composer until you get replaced on a project. So I guess I finally graduated this week. It pains me to leave the project, but a big thanks to Zach for asking me to be a part of his vision. And I wish Danny, Joss, and Warner Brothers all the best with Justice League, Tom. So, yeah, this definitely, you know, all the time now we talk about DC. That was a mutual parting. Everybody's like, this was a mutual parting. No, this certainly was not a mutual parting. I feel like he handled it
well. To him for a very well-crafted tweet.
Yeah.
Still got to work on this.
Yeah, I agree. It's like some people get a little bit too fiery, I think. And that, I think, was
who
very,
was
very well
on
handled.
Star Wars? It was...
I don't remember.
Was it Desplat?
Regardless of the replacing and the controversy there, do you guys feel like Danny Elfman is a good choice?
I mean, personally, I go, the man, he's an exceptional composer.
I almost feel there's two Danny Elfmans out there. There's the Danny Elfman that created
the Batman
score that did Batman and is iconic, almost up there with John Williams. And then there's the Danny Elfman of the past 10 years, which just like, what iconic score has he done? Like, he's done 50 Shades of Grey, the score, so it's like...
Well, you can kind of mic drop from the Batman
Yeah, well,
score
he also recently...
Like,
has
it's in
a,
him,
yeah,
right?
Oh, I know, but I'm saying, which one are we going to get?
He also has a film festival right now that's coming out of him that he just scored a bunch of things, and then people
like, think,
are making
yeah, you think of
the
Danny
it,
Elfman
so
when
like,
he plays at the bowl, and it's iconic, but it's always Beetlejuice, Batman, all those great Batman
Returns,
Edward Scissorhands, but that was all.
He's also very
20 years.
He's also very orchestral in the way that Wonder Woman was. So that might also be informing.
I mean,
where they're going.
His Spider Man was great.
I actually got to see him talk. He did an interview and had a panel discussion where he was talking about different things that inspired him, and he referenced DC and Batman. So it's like, well,
sure,
you know, his work. His previous work too, but he's saying even now he's like, I'll be on a plane and like something will come up and I'll watch an old episode or something and I'll just get out my voice recorder and start into it next to whoever he's sitting, who probably thinks that he's insane until they then hear it on
how long after this happened do you guys think it was announced though?
Oh no, you don't hear about this stuff
when do you think
later.
And the time for Junkie XL to craft that it's been months.
You think months?
Like the Joss stuff was decided a long time ago. My experience with stuff has always been like something happens and then you can't talk about it for a long time.
Alright, so we're a little late to the party.
Ink is dry.
A little late. Yeah. But it's okay, you know.
Speaking about talking of things that happened a little bit ago, let's talk a little bit about the improvisation scene during Wonder Woman, because this has been all over my Facebook page. I don't know about yours.
Yeah.
Probably Mike's, because he all DC. Everybody wants to post everything for him. But basically, that scene on the boat that I claim to be my favorite and it's in everybody's top five was mostly improv'd. What?
Almost entirely. But that line that everybody loves, the perfect procrastination. Yes. Yeah. No, the... Oh. That I don't want to spoil anything. I don't want to say it.
It's been out 2 weeks.
All right, yeah,
I was
going to
say,
yeah,
out 2 weeks. That's the limitations
of the
show.
When she's talking about men, and she says, basically, we've decided that the books have said that they are necessary for procreation, but
not for pleasure.
The 12 books.
That was completely improv, so that's like... His reaction and everything just makes it even more hilarious.
I love that. Do you guys feel like there would be an added pressure on set if they were like, okay, feel free to improv our words, or does that make you feel more excited about a scene?
Well, for myself?
Yeah, for both of you.
I prefer. If you know going in that you're going to go, this is going to be an improvised scene, then you're kind of in the headspace for it. And if you're in the moment and rolling anyway, and they go, okay, just we've got that. Give it something else. Give it whatever you want, because our showrunner works that way. He's like, yeah, try that. So it all depends on how much of a word cop the script supervisor is.
Yeah.
And what the temperament of the set is that day. And usually it's rarely comes out of nowhere. So I think they probably went into it knowing we want to keep this loose and conversational.
And they have such a great dynamic, the two of them. So it seems like that makes sense.
Yeah.
I love improvising. I think it's fun. I think it always
is. Somebody
ends.
As new as she is, though, to the big screen, I mean, she has done a couple of things. I feel like it's really trusting your actors to be like, all right, give us what you got.
I think she knows Diana. She knows what Diana would say. If you know who you are, you can be that person, and whatever comes up, you can just do the conversation as her. So I think that people that say about her acting, I think she's brilliant. I think
it
she's
also
great
could have come out of rehearsal.
Yeah,
and
that's
when
true.
They say it's improvised, it could have been something she said in rehearsal.
Right,
and they
go,
okay, do that again while the camera's rolling, while they were just giving each other crap and playing in the scene, and then they went, okay, just. When they say it came out of improvisation, might not be like, whose line is it anyway, and the cameras happen to be rolling.
Yeah.
I think the chemistry with them is phenomenal. Because have you seen that video?
Yes.
Have you seen what Chris is talking, and she looks at him,
and she's
the lip button, and she's like, oh, looks down, like,
realizes,
oh my gosh.
What about the video where he says, I fell in love with her, it's not that hard. Like,
please, I do not want marriages broken up.
No.
I don't
want.
But you see... When you see a movie, and then a couple years later, because I remember watching it, I think it was Mr. and Mrs.
Don't
Smith.
Don't say it!
No,
I'm still so mad at her.
I was about to say, don't freaking
when that,
Scottish play this couple right now.
Yeah. I don't, because they're a couple, and she Instagrams with her
don't
husband
say Mr.
and his kids.
And Mrs.
It's always
Smith.
Wonderful, so I'm praying That it's just they're good actors. I don't want this. I don't want to see
her.
Maya
was in her belly when they were filming. No.
I know. Well, I was just about to say, you know what? We don't have to worry about it because it's not like they're going to do many films with the two of them together. But then this week, Patty Jenkins kind of had a weird thing about whether or not she's Chris Pine is going to be back. It was
guys didn't see The Parachute?
I missed that parachute.
We could pause it in the theater I saw it in, and you could zoom in.
Oh, yeah.
I hope.
Really pretty colors on that parachute. Really saved him. Yeah.
Beautiful.
He's really quick with that.
I hope he won't be coming back.
But if he is, I don't think it would be in a parachute type situation. No, I think it'd be like a flashback.
Or they'll like they did with Lyle Wagner, and it's like son of.
That's what we always thought for a long time. We thought he was going to play Trevor's grandson, but I'm like. Then she falls in love with the grandson.
But then who did he make a baby with?
A lot of this has to do with which way we go with the direction of Wonder Woman, I feel like. If we're going with the she's sculpted from clay and Ares maybe didn't kill all the gods he thought he did and possibly we have a way of getting some of them back and maybe we can bring Steve Trevor back when we go to bring some of the gods.
Well, the Lazarus Pit exists.
Lazarus Pit Steve Trevor.
Beating of Ares was based on her love of him and it's so strong, so I think it just needs to go. I think it's.
They no, need it's a motivator.
I think it's leave him dead.
What to make of this quote?
Did she have a quote?
Yeah, this was her quote on it. She said she was asked about if there was a chance that Pine would be back, and she said, "All I can say is it was a dilemma." And then she goes on and says, "It's something I hope we don't talk about in public because I want people to see, but it's very hard to know which characters will be in the next movie because of the time period, so it's a big question."
I think that leads to the fact that she doesn't want to talk about it for people who haven't seen it because his death is a big thing, and that was not spoiled by anyone.
The way that that's phrased, that seems
if
to
she
me,
goes,
yeah.
If like she was like, nope, he's not coming back because you guys know why, then everyone's like, well, he's dead. Crap.
And if
so
they
she's
say, this one's going
to
be modern day.
Right.
And she's, I think she's just trying to say.
So she's playing the game.
Yeah.
I think they should do different eras.
I hope so.
And then keep Justice League in now.
I would love her in like
and
the
then
60s.
Like
60s. Well, she did say that she wanted to do that Wonder Woman 2 in present day.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
Civil War.
She did say that
Winter Soldier.
But what I will say to what she said is that she is God and she makes right decisions. And clearly, we know that because A, we love the film, and also because of how it's doing in the box office right now. So this is unbelievable. It nabbed a small superhero drop since Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So it's making a boatload of money right now. I know last week we talked about, like, it's making the fourth most amount of money in June on a Monday and the second most on a Tuesday, which is, like, kind of a crazy way to break things down. But it's still hitting all of those records and some. And I feel like, what are you guys thinking in general? Or what point are we going to cross? I've heard people say the 700. I've heard people say the 800 mil line.
I'm thinking 800.
I'm thinking 800, too. I'm not trying to be, you know, like, pushy,
I'm optimistic for 8.
In the theater or
at
the end of the day?
I think theater. Yeah, Blu-ray, everything. I think that's going to be astronomical, but
I always said low 7s, but now I think 8s just because also every other movie that's coming out is underperforming. So people were like, well, we want to go to the movies this summer.
Like,
let's go see Wonder Woman.
Like, what movies are underperforming, Mike?
Well, to you, Roxy, you're going to say...
say it, Roxy!
Domestically speaking,
Roxy's going to say The Mummy, but The Mummy internationally has gotten Tom Cruise's best total overall of his entire career.
Uh-huh.
Best overall.
Whatever, Mike. Still think The Rock is bigger.
He's an international movie star.
But I do... Well, I'm not going to say...
Were you waiting for all week for that? Were you waiting all week? All
right, weigh in on this. The Rock or Tom Cruise, currently, who is a bigger movie star? Just asking, just wondering, Tom.
Like who opens a picture?
Who's the bigger current movie star?
Just
define big, like physically, because
The Rock, he wins.
He's a larger man.
And they're not saying... Because The Rock... is the highest paid current actor, so that is.
But I always thought the biggest movie star would be most recognizable,
mm-hmm.
and who can open a picture,
right?
Like whose name do you put above the title?
Therefore,
open a picture. I'm not.
You don't know. You're very
that's
PC about
goal.
It. Yeah.
If it makes you feel
my,
any better, Mike, I will
that,
say
that,
my favorite
I would also
review.
Enter Will Smith into that category.
He's big. He's massive. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say one thing to make you feel a little bit better, Mike. The best review of Baywatch that I heard was Zac Efron takes off his shirt more in Neighbors than in this movie, and it takes place on a beach. 1 out of 5 stars. And that was the only review. Yes. So
there you go.
You're welcome.
There you
and
go.
Point and case. Let's talk a little bit about the cinematographer, Matthew Jensen, on Wonder Woman. He was surprised by the emotional response that came from Wonder Woman. Mm. And him being surprised by that surprises me.
That's because very interesting.
I feel like being there, don't you feel like they could have been
no,
able
because
to feel that?
Because when you're there, you don't have the sound mix, yeah. you don't have the music.
It's
you don't
the
have,
music
and
it's
everything. A circus of lights and setups. Well, and,
it was also, I think, in the interview, they were saying people, especially women, had a very emotional reaction to this. And so he was saying he was kind of surprised that that was such a pivotal thing. Because he later went on to say, like, his favorite scenes were the scene in the snow. And more so than the actual battle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like it's less that he was saying, you know, I'm surprised that this was an emotional thing for people, that it was a scene that invoked emotion. I think it was just to the scale.
Yeah, you also can't know what someone's reaction is going to be.
Right.
You just
That's
sort of
true.
Try to tell your
And
story.
I think also a male cinematographer that now people are saying is, you know, feminist, iconic. Visual style, yeah. and he's saying that wasn't my intention. Yay!
Right,
but
right.
I was just trying to make a good movie.
Right.
Yeah, and he said he knew it was good. He said while he was doing it, he didn't see it. He was like, "I know this is good."
I felt like the moment I went, there's classic shots in this was just when they were in the bar that when they went to find Ewan Bremner the first time.
Yes.
The way the bar was shot, just the way it was lit, and the colors they chose, and the frame, I was like. Oh, she's cribbing from the right places. And she had said that she was influenced by Donner and Raiders. I'm like,
yeah.
It's all there.
Yeah, it was clear. I agree. The visual effects also, there was this awesome video that came out this week. DC put it out. And it honestly blew me away to hear them talk about how they created the mascara. This woman, Amber Kirsch, who was designing everything, she talked about how many layers it actually took. So I suggest going to check that out. It's only like 3 minutes long, so we don't have time to watch it on the show, but check it out. And all the layers, like what they borrowed from, like looking at China for the mountains and looking at different places for the sea and then the foreground, the midground, all of these things and how you actually had to create a place that does not exist. Like, this is not,
Where
they found
they
a...
Shot? They shot, well, there, it was a ghost
in
town in Italy.
They shot
it's
in Italy.
Abandoned town.
And they were like, we drew some...
Not anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
They drew some things from it, but they were like, this place does not look like it looks in the movie. We made it up.
Yeah.
This is not a place that exists in the world.
And
so I thought that was pretty cool.
It shouldn't look like that.
Yeah. I just looking at it, I was like, do you guys remember Mamma Mia?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the feeling I
like
got during
Greece?
That. Like the like whether I was in Santorini or whatever, and I was like, that's pretty cool, but this is like that on crack.
Yeah. And that's what it should look like. I think for me that's one of the problems why I have, and I know I'll probably get crap for this, but why The Dark Knight is not my favorite of the Nolan trilogy, because his Gotham is Chicago and they don't do anything.
It's my hometown.
To make it seem different. Like, did you feel watch that? You're like, wow, there's Wacker Drive, there's that.
I guess if you're familiar with Chicago.
Yeah.
Are you saying the second one, Dark Knight?
Yes, the second one. Not the first, because the first one was shot in England.
It's a masterpiece.
And
I think, ultimately, when I watched that film, because Nolan was going for a grounded city.
Yeah.
Not that heightened kind of Burton-esque or Gotham-esque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Meaning the TV show, that heightened version of a city.
Right,
and
sure.
I think, because in the third one, it was Pittsburgh? Or Philly?
Philly.
Philly and Chicago.
And
so I didn't mind it feeling like, as long as it didn't feel like New York.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is okay for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I can kind of you're saying, like, it should have been more of an amalgamation.
Batman Begins, they built
less...
the Narrows, and you're just like, that doesn't look like any kind of place they've ever been. But it looks like a city. It looks like a slum.
Yeah, and I think...
Whereas Dark Knight was just...
And BVS, it kind of looked like Detroit.
Yeah, but kind of... Yeah, we haven't... Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, like, that's why I love the mascara, was just... They didn't just shoot an eye.
I agree.
Had that, like...
Although Donner's Metropolis is New York City.
Right.
It is, and I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
But I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah,
I know this kind of crosses over to TV
time. The first two Nolan films shot in Chicago, Jeremy Ledger in the chat says. So.
Yeah.
Okay. I know this kind of crosses over to TV time, but not totally. But I was picking your brain before you got before we were on, because I love Gotham. Everybody on the show knows it. And you were talking a little bit about being in Gotham and how cool that is.
We talk about it like on the show. Like, for me, the production design on that show, your guys' show, like, I don't know.
I just did.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying it looks, for TV... that to me, that show looks like Gotham. Though you shoot in New York.
What
it's
I
Gotham.
Love about that show is he really splits the difference between Burton's and Nolan's. Like it
okay,
lives
yeah, yeah, that's a good...
like it lives in the kind of the corruption, and it doesn't get as cartoony as Burton does, but it is theatrical.
Yeah.
More than Nolan let himself be.
Yeah, just the like the
that must
police
be such a cool
set.
Feeling though. Like holy
was,
crap.
Crazy.
That,
yeah,
the police station set is awesome.
We had shot a scene and we were in the Bronx, and it was in like an abandoned building, and it was the episode where I was sort of forcing guys in suits to fight each other with office equipment, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and men were in cages, and there was light streaming in, and I just had that moment. I'm like, I'm in Gotham City.
Yeah,
I'm in Gotham City. And, awesome. And it was, and I was saying it's sanctioned. It's like DC blessed this.
Yeah.
And says, yes, this is Gotham City.
They told you you're in Gotham. You're in
so
Gotham.
This is where
so
I am.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
You're right. It doesn't feel like...
Right.
It
New
feels
York.
Like its own
And that's
place.
What that showed. Everything looks great.
Yeah.
The production design, the money they spend, either that or they spend it well. It
Both.
Looks great. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking about tones of places, it was an interesting article coming from The Wrap. Jeff Johns was talking about not dark and gritty, but fun DC. I know a lot of people are like, what? Fun DC? Mike's been screaming this for a long time, that it's not just all dark and gritty.
Yeah, I think... But, I mean, I know this article came out a little later, but I remember it was before BVS came out, they were saying, it's like, this movie's going to be dark. Noah going in Justice League is going to be much lighter. And I thought, oh, this is such a bad thing to say a week before your movie opens.
And it wasn't. I didn't feel like Wonder Woman was...
BVS. Way before BVS.
Yeah.
So they were saying that. So Justice League, and now with these reshoots, I think it's just... I think the DCEU went through what DC Comics did with Rebirth. They just kind of like, we were in it, we want to keep some stuff, but we're going to kind of...
But I feel like Jeff Johns said...
He's doing the reshoots.
Yeah.
And what is he doing?
He was rewriting what Zach was going to reshoot.
Oh, okay.
And that's why he brought him in, so it just was this natural progression of him. But he was rewriting the scenes.
So to get to the actual quote, it says, "Get to the essence of the character and make the movies fun. Just make sure that the characters are the characters with heart, humor, hope, heroics, and optimism at the base." Cool. I'm into it.
Which is basically kind of what he said in 2016 with the rebirth of the comics, too. So I agree. I think that it's... Now syncing the two together, which I think for fans who are reading concurrently, it's kind of the same thing that they did with Man of Steel when they did the New 52. That is going to now bring in more people and kind of re-solidify that fan base.
Do you think they'll do like a Batverse? Like Batgirl will get a movie, Nightwing will get a movie, Batman will get a movie, and then they'll do like a team-up Gotham movie with like Harley and
Catwoman. That wouldn't be a bad idea.
I would take the money.
That would be very sustainable too, when you first started, then split off and have all of these, you know, and especially now with a lot of characters too that are being brought into more into the limelight that were kind of before kind of forgotten about
what you have an opportunity, like my favorite kind of Gotham is the crime fighter. Like I like him not fighting things from other planets and other dimensions. I like Batman fighting like corrupt cops and fighting serial killers and theatrical villains, but it all is kind of street level. And I think if Justice League is fighting Doomsday and Darkseid and all that, you could have this other track that is a little more grounded but still fun, like Daredevil. You could have a little more street level. That's why I like the show, God.
Yeah, I agree. All this talk is making me a little hungry. Mike, you got anything to talk to us about?
Because I'm going to have to jet out of here in a little bit anyway because I'm starving. But I want to talk about what you guys know about Blue Apron and the company that we've talked about here before. But Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country.
What?
In the country.
Yeah.
Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home-cooked meals accessible to everyone. Now, I know I've tried them. You guys have tried them.
Yes.
And it's good that Adam's not here, our chef, because it allows me to talk about it this time. I am not a chef, so when I need meals cooked, this is something that I take advantage of.
Yeah.
My friends that come over don't know it, but, you know.
If you need something awesome,
I just
hide
the boxes. But something I didn't realize, and then just talking to the company and stuff, they not, it's just not just about the you know, but providing food. They're part of the whole community. It's like one of those ones that wants to work with the community and they give back. They've established partners with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. And that's a huge thing, I know, especially in L.A. Everything, you don't want to talk about farm source and this and that and fresh and everything. So all their seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch.
That's awesome.
That's a mouthful there.
Yeah.
But that just goes to show you.
And it's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is.
Literally.
Delicious mouthful.
Beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. Produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. I don't even know what that is.
But it sounds fresh.
Just
I
what
want
they're
it.
Doing yeah. makes me sound stupid, but I believe it. I think it's awesome. I think that to me is like.
They're super good, and they're very easy to cook, which is
yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
Now,
I am the worst cook in the world, and that's the
and
only
you can
thing
do
I can
Blue Apron, right. yes.
And you're always wondering, like, you see it in the film, I don't know what to buy, this is organic, I don't know. So these guys, they take that out of it. Now, what's cool about this, cooking together builds strong family bonds, but it also helps you out when you have a date.
Yeah.
I live by myself, but, you know, hey.
And
but
they have the option for four people if you have family, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Okay, now these are the upcoming meals. I want to go real quick. We got warm smoked trout with asparagus salad with fingerling potatoes and garlic croutons.
Yeah.
I love fingerling potatoes.
I love
spiced zucchini enchiladas with creamy lime and tomato sauce. Elote style vegetable tostados with Spanish squash, poblano peppers, cilantro rice. You noticed a little bit of the accent there?
I noticed that.
Really good. Like my friend's like elote.
It's like a newscaster.
Yeah, no, try. And peach honey glazed chicken with mashed sweet potatoes, collard greens, and Thai basil.
Sounds delicious.
So good.
Yeah. So let me go over a couple of the things, guys. It's affordable, less than $10 a meal. You guys know that. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. You get variety. It's always different. I know my friends and I, we kind of trade off sometimes. Like, I've had chicken a couple nights in a row. I want to try yours. So you got one of those? I was like, yeah, I got that.
That's
or they'll recommend. It's easy, less than 40 minutes to prepare it. Guaranteed freshness, though. That's the cool thing. But the reason we get to this is we give it to you guys because you guys get a great deal with it. You get your first three meals free with free shipping. That's the important thing.
The free shipping.
That's why I do Amazon Prime. Just for the
free
shipping.
Oh, yeah,
shipping.
The free shipping every time.
That's just got to be free shipping. So go to blueapron.com/movie news. Not DC Movie News. /movie news. You're going to love how good it feels, tastes. To create incredible home-cooked meals. I feel like, we've talked about before, but I feel like, you know, that the chef, the famous chef guy.
Oh, Salt Bae.
Now you know. I feel like you know.
You taught me about Salt Bae.
I feel like that.
I was actually on the phone with Blue Apron yesterday. This is no joke because I had a question about one of the meals that I was getting.
So they have customer service.
And so I called them and you leave a message. They call me back. I'm not kidding. Within a minute and a half. It was like, hello, is this Roxy? And I was like, is this... Who is this?
Now, that's we never talked about before. So, dude, there you go.
Yesterday. No, it was awesome. They like called right back. They're like, "How are you doing today?" And I was like, "I'm doing okay. Oh my gosh, how are you doing today?" They were really nice. So that was cool.
It's a great company. It is a great company.
Love Blue Apron.
Yeah. So, blueapron.com/movie news. Check it out. Let us know what you think. I know some of my followers on Twitter, they respond back. Like, I had this the other night, Mike. And I'm like, oh, well, there we know.
Yeah, awesome. Right. Thanks for telling us about Blue Apron.
You got it.
Let's talk a little bit about something that Todd had mentioned earlier, which are the reshoots. But now we're hearing a little more about the reshoots and hearing that Wonder Woman might be very heavily featured in these Justice League ones. I feel like...
That was inevitable.
Kind of da-da-da-da.
I have to... Leave you now, guys? I do.
For reshoots?
But
are you going on Justice League?
I'm going to do reshoots, but I want to leave on a high note. I want to leave on a high note with the reshoots. I don't see the problem. Well, it's great.
Yeah,
Wonder Woman is successful. They want to focus on her.
But,
so,
Mike, have you heard anybody complain about this? Because I haven't heard one person complain about this.
No. Yeah. But I think... I know a lot of people, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you last week, that were not excited for Justice League because of the track record they feel with Batman. And now they saw the trailer... for Justice League before Wonder Woman, and they'd seen Wonder Woman already, so they were seeing it a second time, and they go, man, and they call me, tell me, or text me, like, Mike, I am actually excited for Justice League now. Because to see how good she is in an actress, because they were the ones like, I don't know, BVS, we didn't get to see much of her, she's the weak link, I think, in this, and they see the movie, like, I want to see more of her, I'm actually excited for Justice League now. I have some friends that were like that.
And they're still your friends.
Yeah, trust me, it is an ongoing, but now with Wonder Woman, they are in love with Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And they just, the bottom line is, they just want DC to be what it was in the comics and great. So I get it, we have, and they can debate very well with me, so it's a love.
Good. Are you leaving on purpose because you knew we were about to have a Michael Elena debate in a minute?
A what?
A Michael Elena debate.
You and I?
I feel like Elena debate.
But I was like, Mike,
why would you have a Mike Elena debate with Roxy? But,
I thought it was Mike Elena. I'm like, who's Mike Elena?
I'm winning.
Well, it's kind of a pretty name, Mike Elena.
That's why I was like, who's Mike Elena and why am I debating
that? You're Mike, she's Elena.
You and I are going to have debates?
Because
tell me the topic, because I'm going to find out if I'm going to run.
We have Wonder Woman topic going on because there was a gift bag that came out.
I'm out.
Diet pills.
I'm out.
And pamphlets.
I'm out.
And defend
yourself.
First of all, I hope you can come back because I would love to sit here and talk
absolutely
more with you. Please welcome anytime with us. A fan of DC. Oh, I mean, we love having fans of DC on the show. I apologize I'm cutting and running like this, guys.
You're just a cutter and runner? No, it didn't work.
Talk
the
about
way
diet
I
pills because I'm out. Ladies.
All right. Well, boom. We don't have. We'll wait until next week. We'll talk about the diet
pills. No, you can talk about
week.
It now. I'll be back. I don't want people to see me in shorts. I never wear shorts. This is leaking me. Ridiculous.
Everybody watch him. Walk out shorts. I'm just kidding. So, fine. We can talk about this right now. Really, I don't think there's going to be a debate. Yeah, Mike wouldn't have actually stood behind this. But in one of the screenings, I'm surprised it took this long to come out, that, you know, one of the all-women screenings that every asshole in the world got actually pissed about. Remember what I'm talking about? You guys are having some side conversation.
Sorry, no, please.
Remember the screenings, the all-women screenings. Yes. Everybody got pissed. Everybody was like, not everybody, just like a couple asshole
like
men writing letters.
Four guys. Men rights activists, which in the words of Leslie Knope, that's not a thing.
It, totally. Apparently, at one of the screenings, though, there was a bag given out. It's during June 6th screening. I'm trying to look for where, but I can't find it. But one of the like four that took place in the country. And inside a bag labeled cool things, so it was like a pink bag that said cool things, there was like house supplies, like a squeegee, diet pills.
It was a bunch of sponges, some nachos, and a pamphlet for diet pills, which also counterintuitive. Why are you giving me nacho chips and then making me feel bad about
it?
Come on now.
Let's just talk about not a good look for a second. Like, what has to be going through your mind to be like, this is what we should put in the bag for a Wonder Woman all-female screening? Not like, I don't know, muscle milk or like something awesome, like a tiara, the band, the fake sword, swag. Yeah. We're going to put in the diet pill pamphlet.
And just a bunch of cleaning supplies. Like,
have you seen this president?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I
legit.
I know,
my gosh.
But if you're somebody who's going to be like, we're going to have all female screening, I feel like those two things don't go hand in hand.
But I also kind of felt like thin bars didn't go hand in hand either. But
what, the what?
True.
The Think Wonder Thin Woman, bars. Being the face of Think Thin.
Yeah. Wasn't our favorite thing.
Just eat Froyo and just that one's fine.
Yeah, that was a mess. We'll come back though to some Wonder Woman stuff that actually will make us happy. Yay! Not like diet pills. This was freaking awesome. If anybody doesn't follow Patty Jenkins on Twitter, by the way, start.
Do.
She's my favorite person to follow. She retweets people all of the time. She's just a bag of fun. You happen to know her, which makes me feel even cooler for sitting next to you. But like, I just feel like her personality via Twitter shines. Is that what she's like in person?
She's absolutely like no matter what. I did a movie back in 97, like just after you guys were born, and
not too far from the truth.
I'm saying. And so, and she was dating somebody that was in the film with me. So we were all kind of moving together in the same circles in New York. And so I got to know her then and then just watched her six. Like, she's the type of person, she was infectious and amazing then. And you just go, no matter what she chose to do, if she wanted to be a restaurateur, they would be like top of line. Whatever she picked to do, because she's so smart and charismatic and focused and talented, it's like, of course. Like, when somebody goes, yes, her movie opened at $200 million, you go,
yeah. So
no surprise here.
That's awesome. Yeah. This says so cool. Nothing short of that. I loved this. She tweeted out this image that a kindergarten teacher wrote up and sent to her. I'm just going to read a couple of them to you guys because it was just like, it blew my mind. She says, I work at a kindergarten, and this is a collection of cute Wonder Woman-related things that happened within a week of the movie being released. Number one, on Monday, a boy who was obsessed with Iron Man told me he had asked his parents for a new Wonder Woman lunchbox. That one, like, really spoke to me because it's like a little boy asking for this. Just awesome.
The Wonder Wagon.
Yeah. A little girl said, when I grow up, I want to speak hundreds of languages like Diana. This girl had her parents revamp her Beauty and the Beast birthday party in 3 days because she simply had to have a Wonder Woman party. Seven girls playing together during recess on Tuesday, saying that since they all wanted to be Wonder Woman, they had agreed to be Amazons and not fight, but work together to defeat evil.
That one was my favorite. That was so good. Like, yes, this is what little girls should be doing.
This one's a little bratty, but also unbelievably perfect. There's one girl that refuses to listen to you unless you address her as Wonder Woman, which is
she
like,
can't hear you.
Yeah, she's just, I don't know. How could you hear?
Oh, now you're talking to me?
Yeah, okay. Which is amazing.
The two dubs.
Another girl very seriously asked the teacher if she could ditch her uniform for the Wonder Woman armor because she wanted to be ready if she needed to save the world. The teacher laughed and said it was okay, and the next day, the girl came dressed as Wonder Woman, and not a single kid batted an eye.
That's amazing.
Awesome. I love it. It's so much cooler to be that kind of teacher than be like, no, you cannot wear the Wonder Woman. Like, let the girl wear the Wonder Woman. So there's a lot more. So definitely go find this tweet that she tweeted on June 11th that her producer sent to her, and she said this just makes every hard day worth it. Thank you to whomever wrote it. I've read it like 15 times. I love picturing all these kids. I mean, you have a little
nine-year-old,
and I'm sure like same thing. Has she been talking about it?
My daughter's a super cosplayer anyway.
Oh my gosh!
If you go through my Instagram, you'll see. Oh, there she's Gamora, and then she's Batgirl.
That's awesome.
She's Rey.
She was Gamora. That's amazing.
She was Gamora for Free Comic Book Day, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
So cute.
No, she was a Jawa. She was Gamora for something else. Oh. At any rate, for the one.
Gosh, Dad, get it right, right?
I'm failing as a nerd dad.
I feel like you're doing pretty well. That's what she's choosing to dress up as.
She went to the premiere dressed as Wonder Woman, and then so she watched the movie, and then immediately after the movie, she leans over to my wife, and she goes, "Give me my sword and shield." Like, she wanted to make sure that she was exiting the theater with the sword.
Because that's what all good Wonder Womans would do, obviously. I love that. That's incredible. What was so surprising to me, too, a lot of surprises this week, was that Patty Jenkins kind of came out and said that she wouldn't have necessarily cast Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. And that when she heard she was cast, she kind of had, like, a oh crap moment, which was pretty wild.
I remember when Wonder Woman had been cast, my heart sank.
Yeah, that's the quote. Her heart sank when she heard, because she said that she was talking to the studio so long about doing it, and she was like, well, that's that. I'm sure we wouldn't have made the same choice, which is, wow.
I mean, at the time, I'm like, what did Gal have in front of her? Like, nobody knew. She had, what, Fast and the Furious? And then...
And this is
a woman who directed Charlize Theron to an Oscar. So you go, what she knows of her talent pool that she's pulling from, and going, when given that task, who she would cast, she didn't have a reference point for Gal.
Well, also, most of directing is casting, and when they say we're going to let you direct this movie, we're casting it, you know, that we're casting the main character, that does kind of, you know, start with a little bit of a bitter taste in your mouth. I'm just glad that it really, really worked out, and that both women were able to really bring their A game
when he got cast as he was like skinny.
Think about Heath Ledger, and everyone was like, why this guy from 10 Things I Hate About You? And
I never passed judgment on casting.
Yeah.
It was...
She has to work with her.
Right. I love what she said, though. She ended up saying, and then I started paying attention to her and watching her and looking at her, and it was just unbelievable. Frankly, I think they did a better job than I could have, because I don't know what I would have scoured the earth as... I don't know if I would have scoured the earth as hard to find her. No. So, it's pretty...
That was genius casting.
It was genius. I just did on one of our sister podcasts, Action Movie Anatomy, we were talking about Wonder Woman, and I named her as one of my top three best cast superheroes ever of all time.
And going back to my daughter, who has not watched the Fast and Furious franchise, it was like me with Christopher Reeve, where you go, that's who Gal is to her now.
Yeah, that's like, who Wonder Woman
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
That's what I mean. It's like that's all she'll know her as until she... you know, grows up with her and sees her do other things. But it's like, and it was kind of hard for Chris to shake, right? Like, every other movie he did, you're like, oh, there's...
Next to Impossible.
Superman.
But I actually don't think it will be a particularly bad thing for Gal.
It's different.
Yeah, and even if she never does shake it, this is...
That's something good to be so lucky.
Yeah. Exactly. Pretty it's not such a bad thing to never shake.
And, you know, you think about, like, Joss Whedon saying he wants to cast Batgirl with an unknown, and, like...
Mm-hmm. Hope so.
Yeah, so it makes sense Those that you want people... Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You want to see somebody that you don't want to look at Wonder Woman and think, you know, if you're watching...
Bring their baggage with them.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You want that character to shine on its own, which I think...
I agree. Iris West to cameo in Justice League. This is interesting. I mean, what's crazy about the woman that was cast as Iris West is, remember, it was under the last regime when the director of Dope was going to be directing The Flash, which is no longer, but she still is in place. So that in itself was an interesting thing. And now the fact that she's going to be in Justice League. She says, this November, I'm making a cameo in Justice League as Iris West, and it's the first time that you meet her before we get to see her in The Flash with Ezra Miller. It was my first time doing something so extravagant like that. We filmed in London, and that's one of my favorite places.
She's like, such a cute little actress. Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite places. And also, I'm Iris frickin' West.
Yeah.
Like, epic. But that will be an exciting scene. I wonder, I'm guessing then it's going to be some sort of flashbacky moment.
I
got there.
I didn't even do that on purpose. That's pretty good, right? But I don't picture that being in real time, right? There's no way that she meets the Flash during Justice League, or do you guys think maybe she does?
I don't think so. I think that it's going to be
depends
like
on how they spool out how he becomes Flash. Like, is he?
Yeah.
Does Bruce Wayne give him the costume in the same way that?
Well, she also says before we get to see her in the Flash with Ezra Miller, so I'm thinking maybe it's. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I feel like it's
You know what? He's already the Flash, though, right?
Yeah.
By the time
Bruce
comes upon him.
Well, we've seen him in the future. But we've seen the future version of him to like come back and try to... So we don't know. We don't know exactly how it will look, which will be interesting. So we've talked a lot on this show about this. A lot. About the DC-Marvel rivalry that we don't feel necessarily exists because we love both teams. But people seem to talk about all the time. And last week, we talked about, you know, Kevin Feige being friends with Geoff Johns. And this week, Kevin Feige is denying completely a Marvel versus DC rivalry, which I really like, although I don't think it will put an end to people's debate. I think people will just ignore this. Elaine, do you have the quote there?
I do. There's not really a rivalry. A rivalry is much more amongst the press, I think. Geoff Johns is a very good friend of mine. We grew up together in a business and recently celebrated Richard Donner, who we both used to work for. So I applaud all the success he's had, and I really just look at it as a fan. So when the movies perform well and are well received, it's good for us, and that's why I'm always rooting for them.
Couldn't it be just as simple as that?
Yeah, like comic books are sold in the same stores. When you're there, you can be a Marvel and a DC fan.
Nothing
can
could like ever be that both. Simple. Nothing could ever.
Yeah, but people, and on some level, it's a source of sport. It's a source of fun, and it is a source of. It's like Star Trek versus Star Wars. Like it's a place where people. I'm a Bears fan. I'm a
and they make like, each other better. That.
We're tribal, right?
Yep, I agree.
But ultimately. Yeah, I mean, we're all rooting for each other. We all want those movies to be great. We all want the books to be great. Like,
it's true. Like, even with, same thing with the movie studios themselves. When and you're shooting all over each other's lots and everything, it's not competitive until you get to the box office. And then even then. Yeah,
but if a superhero movie does well,
then
it's
that
good
encourages
for all
more superhero movies. Yeah,
exactly. I agree. And we want them all to do well. But some of them don't do as well, and sometimes 20 years later, we feel the need to apologize for them. Was that a smooth transition that I
that
just
was
did?
Very good. Very smooth.
Joel Please. Schumacher, my friends,
Please.
Is very, very sorry about Batman and Robin. This article, which I can't, I can sum up, it's coming from Vice, but here's how you sum it up. He's sorry about Batman and Robin, and mostly about the nips.
Yeah.
He's real sorry about the nipples. Didn't know what that would cause.
He made a nip slip.
His bad. Yeah. He made a nip slip.
I like that. It's very,
very sorry.
Very
it's
sorry.
So, talk about like somebody's career being defined by something or it following them for so long. This has followed him for too long.
And Clooney was a great choice.
Yeah.
He looked great. And he also played Bruce Wayne. Like he played the... sort of the bachelor playboy of it all.
It didn't help that he kind of talked negatively about the film and
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either. I just, go read the whole thing. He has answers to everything, but in general, he's just really, really remorseful. And he's sorry to the fans. He's sorry to the fans because he knows it really matters to us people, and he's sorry he created something we didn't love, which I get. We kind of got that with recently, Jeff Johns was saying, sorry, not Jeff Johns, Zack Snyder was saying similar things like, I'm sorry if you guys didn't enjoy this so much, I just wanted to do right by you. And that always kind of makes me feel for them. Like,
nobody wants to make a bad film.
Right. No. Nobody sets out like, haha, I'm going to throw away hundreds of million dollars. Suck it. Like,
yeah.
Everybody goes in with best intentions.
Yeah, it is. It is sad. Okay, Armie Hammer. Another person we talked about on the show a lot who has nothing to do with the DCEU, but there have been so many rumors about him that we've continued to talk about him. He has come out and said, guys, listen, I have not been approached. I have not been approached to play Hal Jordan. I have not been approached to play anybody in the DC.
There is no Hammer time.
Yeah, no Hammer time yet. Do you have his quote, Elena, that he was talking about for not being approached for any of these? Oh, Shazam, I think, was on there, too.
Well, that was because The Rock said something.
Yeah.
Right.
What an embarrassment of riches to have all these choices. The funny thing is, nobody has ever come to me and been like, my agent has never called and said, Arnie, Warner Brothers has been talking to me. They're really interested in you, this whole thing. Never. In fact, after there was like a, hey, when the Green Lantern stuff first kind of started, which I think is Jeff Johns' fault because he like followed me on Twitter or something and everybody was like, what does that mean?
And if you were Johnny, would you be sitting here saying swerve? Like, is it possible he put this out as the biggest swerve ever?
I don't know, but it's funny because he like keeps going where he's like, I asked my agent, like, hey, have you heard anything from DC yet? And they're like, nah, man.
Sorry, dude.
So I almost kind of feel like it's not really a swerve, but maybe just they'll be like, hey, man.
Throw him a bone.
Yeah. Has like, it ever give him happened, something. Though,
when the fans kind of pounce on it, has it ever panned out to?
It has somewhat, I think, because Donald Glover's now being pulled in because there was the whole backlash because of Spider-Man. And so they're like, well, you can be something. Which is somebody who was maybe, they're like, you're too old to be Spider-Man now, but you've aged out of
Ant-Man
that.
Too?
But
like, I feel like fans do have say in some things sometimes.
I think there's a lot where there's like, this was somebody we weren't considering at all to even be part of this universe, but because fans have said it.
Well, and that just because then, this amount of money will be spent if you cast this guy.
Yeah, that's exactly, which I think, if you're saying, shut up and take my money, and that's your meme, send it to the executives, let them know.
Yeah. Spoiler alert to anybody who doesn't like to know about this stuff. We're about to talk about a little spoiler. I know we've talked before about the Legos, how they have spoiled some things. This isn't Lego's fault. This is Funko's fault. Damn you, Funko! I feel like we kind of knew this, but you guys correct me if I'm wrong. That was a pretty good one. I'll acknowledge it. Thank you. So
they normally glaze over
with their Aquaman Funko, they're actually having him hold what looks like a mother box.
Yeah.
And we knew the Atlanteans had one. We didn't know specifically that he had one. And people are saying, now we know that he's been hiding it for all of these years. I would challenge that and say, we have no idea at what point he has this.
Yeah.
We have no idea if this is just like, talk about swervy McGurvies. But, all right, maybe this wasn't the best idea to release. I don't know. What do you guys think?
It's a toy.
Yeah.
Great point.
I think it's like you got to give it an accessory.
Yeah. Maybe Funko is Lego just like, look, Mother Box will be a Mother Funko.
All the time.
Oh.
Did you do that on purpose? Bump.
Of course.
That was really good.
She was working on that one earlier.
Yeah, that one was really good. That was a really good one.
Oh, good.
Speaking of really good ones, did you guys check out Jaden Smith's Batman?
I did.
What?
The like all white Batman costume.
Dude, that's what he wore to Kim and Kanye's wedding. He wore that to Kim and Kanye's wedding. He's worn it twice. He wore it to Comic-Con, and then he wore it to Kim and Kanye's wedding, and his exact quote was, they asked him, why did you wear this to Kim and Kanye's wedding? And he said he felt like everybody there needed protecting, and he just wanted them to know that
so
they were
weird
safe.
Is I was so close to wearing the same thing.
That would have been so awkward.
So embarrassing.
It would have been on people who wore the all-white
Batman.
Terrible.
Does anybody have any thoughts on this? Like, I don't know. I don't have anything to say.
I felt you should be doing as that. Though yeah. I needed to protect everyone there and needed to have the proper gear to do so. But not? Once you have the suit,
well, like, wearing all white to somebody's wedding is real rude.
It is, but come on, man. Like,
they could have mistaken him as the bride.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Bride man.
So. That veil, though.
The veil of secrecy, the veil of night.
It's DC. I love in the chat, Canucks fan. No, Roxy, no. It's really just like we talk about the news here on the show, so I added that in there. It has nothing really to do with DC, but he was in a big Batman fan.
He's a big comic book fan. He says he likes to dress up like superheroes.
Yeah, and his dad's in the universe, so you never know.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that are like adjacent to DC. Hillary Clinton, who has not seen Wonder Woman yet, talked all about how it's right up her alley. And that kind of like popped up all over the place. All right. It's fine. Go see the movie, girl.
Yeah.
Check it out. Mm-hmm. It's up my alley, too. I think it's up a lot of people's alley. I don't mind it. No thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. All right. It's time for my favorite time of show. Yeah. My favorite time of show.
It's
time for
Roxy Shire's TV time. Roxy Shire's TV time. She thinks that the Flash is fine, but dumb.
TV time.
Yeah. All right. So, starting with the fact that, you know, we kind of got a little bit of a spoiler alert here too. We knew this was going to happen though, but Emily Bett just was talking about the next season of Arrow, and you guys know the last season of Arrow, how it ended made it seem like there might not be any Felicity anymore, and there might not be any Team Arrow. But she's talking about her character and the future and like what they might be doing with Helix, which would imply that she's alive, and people kind of lost it about this. I feel like it's a TV show, so you have to know that they're not going to kill off 15 of the leads. But some people, I guess, were really surprised. So, okay. Felt bad for those people that felt bad about this and had this spoiled for them.
Man, I'm like, nobody dies forever on these CW shows. They come back. They always come back.
They were talking about the Lazarus Pit earlier.
Yeah.
How careful do you have to be if you're on a show like this to not spoil something for fans?
I've died often on, recently, I was even kind of removed from a lot of the publicity for season 3 of 12 Monkeys because I was presumably stabbed to death at the end. And so I kind of had to pull back a lot until Entertainment Weekly put a picture of me out. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm still alive.
There I am.
So you have to be super careful, but it all depends on what the messaging is and what they want. If they're worried about, if they're more excited to go, we'll pull in eyeballs because people know you're coming back, or they're, we'll pull in eyeballs because they'll want to see if you're coming back. It's like
the Jon Snow phenomenon.
Exactly. Yes.
It all depends. And look, all chatter is good. So
it's kind of like Henry Cavill's problem right now doing press for it. There's still people out there that are like, what are you talking about?
What?
But he's dead.
There's no way. I saw the dirt rise.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's tough. And I do feel bad for the people who want no spoilers, but sometimes it's got to get out. iZombie. Oh, I love this show so much. I want everybody in the world to be watching it. Ish just got real. Can you say ish instead? I'm still confused on the like lingo of ish.
I'm 48.
Yeah, my little sister keeps telling me like that I need to stop with that. Things just got real. Things just got real on that show. I think the secret's out. We've got Liv's face plastered as like with the zombie eyes on the newspapers. So we'll see how we go from there. There's a mole. All these things are happening, and I love iZombie this week and every single week. So thank you guys for being my friends who watch it in the chat, because you guys tweet awesome things at me, and I appreciate it. Xeno Hour says, let's get Todd in the Arrowverse.
Give us a Deathstroke CW TV series.
Who would you be?
I don't know.
It's too hard of a question.
I've read for Supergirl a long time ago.
You'd make a great Supergirl.
Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't be good? Not the role.
I know.
They always want to.
You can be the new cat.
Kill me.
They want to kill you?
They'll bring me on for like 3 episodes and then I will die in some radioactive explosion.
They're always trying to kill Mike, too.
Yeah,
they're trying to kill you guys. Trying to kill you guys off. I'm trying to think who you would be. Which of the shows would you feel like you would fit in best tonally? Do you watch a lot of
those? I think I would. Watch a lot? I'm starting to catch up. I'm through season two of Gotham. I'd fit really well on that show.
Damn, you did.
I'm caught up on that. I'm just digging. There's only so much time in this world. So
totally.
I'm digging a little bit more into Flash. I know Danielle from... We did a Disney Channel movie together.
Oh.
When she was 15.
Really?
Yeah, with the Terrence.
Which film. One?
Stuck in the Suburbs.
Aw.
Cool.
Yeah, it was fun. But How was she then? She was lovely. She was 15.
She was 15, yeah.
Yeah, she was lovely. Cool. I ran into her at Comic-Con. I actually have a story about that.
Give it to us.
It involves Gotham. So my wife and I were supposed to go to, I think it was an EW party. And this is a very DC story.
By the way, that's the party of the Comic-Con. Yeah, it was a fun party.
Like, if you had dropped a bomb at that party, you would have killed pop culture for a year or two. So, but we get off the elevator, and there's this sea of humanity. Now, a week before Comic-Con, I had done my second episode of Gotham. But I'm standing there in line waiting. And
so it hadn't aired yet?
Aired. Okay. No, we just shot it. And all the Teen Wolf kids are being shepherded in, and then there's Danielle, and she's being shepherded in, but there's this clot of people, and I know that like, the 12 Monkeys people got me and my wife on the list for this thing, but I'm like, I'm not going to be, like, push and shove my way to the front of this thing, right? So through this door comes, like, the cast of Gotham. And they come through, and they had a publicist in front of them, like, cast of Gotham coming through, and they made, like, the sea parted. And they start passing me, and I see all the people I just worked with last week. They're like, "Hey, Todd! Hey, Todd!" And they keep. I grab my wife's hand, and I rode the cast of Gotham into. I just kind of like cattled into the party.
You rode those cape tails.
I rode those cape tails. You're good at this.
Yeah. Well, why are you so good at this? I keep trying to think of ones off of what he's saying, but they're taking me too long.
Alexis hates it. She calls me the Punisher.
Oh, pretty cool.
Good. But that's amazing.
It was that kind of party. It was that kind of party where you're like, going, this is insane. Like, I'm having a conversation with Doctor Who. I'm just going to drop names. I'm having a conversation with Doctor Who, and I look over his shoulder, and I'm not going to swear.
No, go ahead.
Harry Potter was dancing with Arya Stark.
You shit us not.
I swear to God. It's like, ha, what?
That's Harry amazing. Potter and Arya Stark were dancing?
They were, like, just dancing to the music while I'm talking.
Like a bump and grind or like a disco?
It wasn't like Dirty Dancing. It was just... They were young Brits having fun. I'm not starting any rumors.
No.
But like, I'm talking to Capaldi, and that's so happening over here. It was like that. Yeah, it was good.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that insider bit. That's awesome. Fun. Any other TV talk that anybody want to talk about before I tell you guys a little bit about something amazing? All right, Elena, I know you can share this with me because we got these sick movement glasses. I'm going to put these on for this because I am obsessed with these. They're super duper comfortable. Those are so cute.
Thank you. I love these.
They're really comfortable. They're amazing. I've also got my movement watch on because I'm obsessed with this company in general. We're talking about movement. We're talking about MVMT. That is how it's spelled. You guys know them because we've told you all about their watches. Who needs vowels? It just takes up extra space.
Waste your time.
And we've told you before, but we want to tell you again about the watches, the sunglasses, everything they've done. Because, guys, these were like two kids that went to college together, and they were like, you know what? Good stuff's expensive. How do we make really great stuff that is not crazy, crazy expensive? We want great watches. We want great sunglasses. And they did that. They made these incredible watches that we rock. And they're like $150 in price, which is really good for them. And they sold a million of them to date, which is really great. But they did that. And they're like, all right, next on our list, we're going with the glasses. We want to go with these sunglasses. So these amazing designer sunglasses, they start around $70, which is really, really good. And I think that they're comfier than most glasses I own. They feel a little lighter. They're well made. I've worn these now for a couple of months. And I swear to God, like, I don't treat my stuff very well. I'll throw them around. These things are going to last. I've gotten 1,000 compliments about them everywhere. And I'm just loving them. How are you feeling about yours?
I love these. They're super lightweight. They're also just great lens quality, too.
That's true.
You just see really well, because that's the thing, is sometimes you get really cute glasses, but you're like, eh, these like don't really block the sun that much. They're not really doing their job. These work. They're functional, and they look really good.
And they have men's and women's. I know that the guys have been rocking their aviators. Mike got a pair that he feels like are fancy enough that he can wear. He's like, I'm wearing fancy glasses. Anytime he goes anywhere, he feels like really, really.
It's his Tom Cruise Top Gun.
Yeah, damn right. And they're cool. They're trendy. Like, I spot them out of a crowd. People are like, wow, where'd you get those? I'm like, movement. Next question. Yep, damn.
MVMT.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So if you guys want a pair of these awesome glasses, we're going to help you out. You get 15% off today, which is really great because they're already pretty inexpensive. And there's also free shipping and free returns. So we love that. No risk involved. Go to MVMT.com/DCMovie. So MVMT.com/DCMovie for your 15% off, free shipping, and free returns. Get these awesome, amazing glasses that we are totally rocking right now. And now that I'm looking at yours, I'm like, I need to get two pairs.
I'm looking at yours, too, and I'm thinking the same.
Yours are very California girl. What do we got? Let's switch them. You feel a little left out?
No.
We'll get you in on the movement.
Okay, these are nice.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, girl. Or are we going to do a little buddy trade for a little bit? So, guys, again, that is MVMT.com/DCMovie. Go there for your 15% off. And, yeah, rock these amazing glasses. There you go. Oh, perfect. All right, so that is it for the day for DC movie news. There's a lot of news this week.
It's all good news for the most part. And
we're still basking in the Wonder Woman glory. We didn't have movies for so long. We've been doing this show for so many years, and now we finally have an amazing... It's our first incredible movie to talk about.
Yes.
Like, we could use this for weeks and weeks to come. Todd, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks,
our DC guru of the day, with all the insider knowledge. No, you're coming back, right? You're
going to
hang out with us again.
Absolutely love to. Thank you.
Awesome. Where can everybody keep up with you?
On the Twitter, Todd Stashwick. On the Facebook, official Todd Stashwick. On the Instagram, T Stashwick.
And on the television.
And on the television, 12 Monkeys. You can see it on demand for a few more days. And then it's on iTunes, and it's on Hulu, season 1 and 2 on Hulu. And then
all
iTunes,
over the place.
Amazon. It's a good show.
You guys are on the internet. You know how to find things. Yeah. Elena Jordan.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And if you're in Vegas this weekend, come hang out with me at Amazing Las Vegas Comic Con. We're going to be doing a tribute to Adam West as well. Stan Lee's going to be there, and we're going to be hanging out. So come party with us and Stan Lee.
Are you wearing something awesome? Some crazy cosplay amazingness?
You know, whenever I'm a moderator or a panelist,
you try to
I just wear it down. But all of my clothes, people always come up and they go, "Oh, I love your costume," and I'm like, "These are my." Oh,
this is just what I own.
But,
I feel you on that one. Guys, I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. And, of course, our fearless leader, Jay Quasto, is not here. But keep up with him.
Sorry,
he's on a boat this time or in Atlanta.
He's on a boat. Mother Funko, don't you ever forget.
Mother Funko. Or maybe he's back in, like, Afghanistan. He's all over the place.
He's all over the place.
I can't keep
awesome
up with him
stuff.
Doing the comedy and doing... He's probably giving blood to somebody somewhere. He's just too good of a
real
person.
Real medicine and the best medicine.
Yeah, Adam Gertler... eating sausages and or at a premiere, something with FX, and Mike Kalinowski ran out to go save the world.
Yep.
So there you have it. We
at
love you guys.
The world is safe.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Wonder Woman was a little tired, so Mike handled it for the day, okay? We'll see you guys next week, same time, same place. Mwah!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.